Hello everyone. I'm Emily from the University of Dundee in Scotland, and I'm going to talk today about some work I've been doing using molecular techniques to characterise the eubacteria associated with the cabbage aphid to test their influence on aphid performance. So this is the cabbage aphid here. It's a common pest of crucifers in Scotland, and it causes considerable damage to crops like Brussels sprouts and oilseed rape. It causes damage to crops in two ways. Firstly, it damages them by diverting nutrients away from the growing part of the plant, and that makes the plant stunted and yellowed. And then also it can vector a number of viruses. So in order to limit the damage that aphids do to crops, we use methods such as pesticide application or the deployment of natural enemies like parasitoid wasps. However, for these methods to be successful, we need to understand the underlying fitness effects that affect the dynamics of aphid populations in crop systems. So, aphid fitness, and consequently their vector competence, will depend critically on the abiotic and biotic conditions of the environment, including pressure from parasitoid wasp attack, temperature and humidity, and the plant developmental stage. In addition, aphids also harbour a number of different symbiotic bacteria that can have positive, negative, or neutral effects on their fitness. These bacteria split into two groups, the primary symbiont, which is known as Buchnera, and its role is largely in the synthesis of essential amino acids, and it's essential for aphid survival. We also have a second group of symbiont bacteria, the secondary accessory bacteria, and most of the work on these bacteria has been done in the P. aphid. And in P. aphid, four different types have been characterised, and they've been linked to different fitness traits, including conferring resistance to parasitoid wasp attack and increasing thermal tolerance and influencing host plant specificity. However, because most of the work's been done in P. aphid, we know very little about the secondary accessory bacteria of other aphid species, particularly those that are important for the Scottish economy, such as cabbage aphid. So the aim of my project is to characterise and quantify the accessory bacteria of the cabbage aphid. And I'm using the system, cabbage aphid, feeding on Brussels sprout and being parasitised by the wasp, Diarrhoetula raphe. And we're particularly interested in the interaction between eubacterial complement and resistance to the wasp. So the first thing I did was determine actually whether cabbage aphid had any secondary accessory bacteria, and collected several cabbage aphid lines from local field sites and established them as clonal lines. Because aphids reproduce by parthenogenesis, you can select a single nymph, and from that nymph, all the descendants will be genetically identical. So I then extracted DNA from these aphid lines using a DNEZ blood and tissue kit, and PCR screened them using universal eubacterial primers for the presence and absence of eubacteria other than Buchnera in the aphid lines. And I can do this because in most eubacteria, but not in Buchnera, the 16S gene is linked to a 23S gene by an intergenic spacer region. So using universal eubacterial primers spanning the IDS region, it's possible to detect eubacteria other than Buchnera in the aphid lines. So this is just a gel image showing the 2.5 kb product of interest in four different aphid lines. And as you can see, it's amplified in four, and there are two in which it hasn't amplified. And this suggests that there's interclonal variation in the presence and absence of eubacteria other than Buchnera in the cabbage aphid lines. I also include a 16S-only PCR control, and this just increases my faith in the results of the negative lines, because it should always amplify Buchnera. It tells me basically that the PCR template isn't toxic or anything like that. So once I'd established that there were eubacteria other than Buchnera in the aphid lines, the next step was to characterise them, find out exactly what they were. I did this by cloning and sequencing five different aphid lines. First of all, cloned them using a StratoClone PCR cloning kit, and then sequenced them using the 10F forward primer. And this generated preliminary 16S rDNA sequences of approximately 600 base pairs in length. I then aligned the sequences and using partial order alignment and drew a preliminary maximum likelihood tree. I then grouped the sequences using visual approximation based on particularly robust rootstock values and long branch lengths, and selected 8 examples of each different sequence type to generate double-strand consensus sequence for the 16S region, so it was approximately 1.5 kb. So I had to split this up into 3 different sections, so 3 sets of primers, basically. I then realigned my consensus sequences and redrew the maximum likelihood tree. And this is what I came up with. So actually there are 15 different sequence types associated with the Kerbage aphid. And they split basically into 2 main groups, the Pseudomonalis group and the Enterobacteriaceae. So I then selected an example of each of the different types and put them into eubacterial phylogenies that have previously been published for each one. And what I found was that 2 types at the bottom particularly are Erwinia types, and then there's a Pseudomonas type further up and Bulkalderia at the top. Interestingly, none of these types are the same as have previously been characterised in the pea aphid. So what I've concluded really is that there's a wide diversity of bacterial types associated with Kerbage aphid, but they're not the same as have been previously characterised in the pea aphid. So what was particularly interesting, however, was that the relative abundance of each sequence type varied between the different aphid lines. So for example, AO6 was dominated by an Erwinia type, which is in the Enterobacteriaceae, and then AO701, the one that's purple there, it was dominated by a Pseudomonas type. So what I decided to do was do a preliminary performance experiment based on these results. And I chose the line AO6, and which was Erwinia infected, the line AO701 that's Pseudomonas infected, and also AO7, which didn't generate any eubacterial PCR product, so it had no eubacteria other than Buchnera. And I looked at the intrinsic rate of population increase for these 3 aphid lines, and I found out that that the AO6 line, interestingly, performed significantly less well than either the line that had no eubacteria other than Buchnera or the one that was Pseudomonas infected, suggesting that carrying Erwinia has a sort of a negative fitness effect, which was particularly interesting because artificially infected pea aphids in a previous study by another author showed that Erwinia infection's pathogenic, so it has negative fitness costs in pea aphids, so it's quite interesting. However, these are different aphid genotypes, so you can't rule out the effect of aphid genotype. And my next step will be to cure particularly the line AO6 of Erwinia infection, so I have like the same genotype, to compare the fitness effect of either being Erwinia infected or not infected. So that'll be the next step with that. So the next step with the whole thing are to develop real-time PCR primers for based on my 16S sequence. So basically for the 2 groups initially, and then probably hopefully separate out down into like further the different types. So this will be a really useful diagnostic tool, especially for the performance experiments I intend to do. And it shouldn't just be applicable for Kerbage aphid, it should be applicable to other aphid species too. So I'm also in the process of doing some fluorescent in situ hybridization on localized tissues to determine exactly where these bacteria are within the aphids, which is proving quite difficult. And I've previously mentioned antibiotic elimination so that I can compare across the same genotype and rule out the effect of genotype. And these are all going to come together in these performance experiments that I intend to run over the next year. We're going to, hopefully, the results of those will shed light on a number of different aspects of Kerbage aphid biology, particularly the interaction between the wasp and eubacterial complement, and hopefully shed some more light on whether this wasp can be used as a potential biocontrol agent for a Kerbage aphid, giving the project a practical application as well. So I'd just like to thank my supervisors, Ali Carley and Steve Hubbard, and Tim Daniel for his help with the molecular work, and the SUB for giving me some money to come to this conference. So that's the references, and thank you for listening.
Yes. But you have a strain that's already doesn't show up on any of the bacteria, you could inoculate that with one of the other bacteria, with one of the bacterias, or just an extract from one of the other strains and see if that affects the fecundity.
Yes, yeah, I could do. Yeah, that's right. Thank you.